Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and we've got another reappearing guest here. It's going to be another great show. We've got Captain Kay, or Randy Kramer, as most people know him, and he's already been on the show a couple times, so I'm not going to give a long introduction. He's a super soldier, and he talks a lot about the Mars expeditions and the life on Mars, and you know, a lot of things that we're not supposed to know about, but a lot of us have known about it for some time. But he's kind of a whistleblower, and he's been letting us know what's been going on in the secret space program, among other things. So without any further ado, Randy, are you with us?
I'm here, James. Thanks for having me.
Hey, welcome to the show again.
Thanks. Feels good to be back.
Yeah. Hey, I've got just a boatload of questions. I know, I guess we can give us just a short recap of you know, your position and what your mission is, and we can just give a real short recap, and then we can go into some of these other questions.
Certainly. United States Marine Corps Special Section was created in 1953 when President Eisenhower signed into law through a secret executive order the United States Marine Corps Special Section Special Code, which mandated USMCSS as its own branch of the military. So it was designed to deal with all of these, what at that time were very new and kind of spinning out of control extraterrestrial issues in the military-industrial complexes Eisenhower gave in his farewell speech was the thing that he was concerned about. It was the reason why he signed United States Marine Corps Special Section into law. So over time, they've been involved in everything extraterrestrial, exopolitics, covert military space program that they can be, and certainly have a full military intelligence apparatus to deal with that problem, and a lengthy legal special code which mandates their ability to have jurisdiction over those areas and to be involved in that and to maintain as much legal operating authority in those issues as possible, which, since we've sort of stepped away from that, is one of the reasons why I've been able to speak publicly. But I fall into that as a product of one of the super soldier genetic engineering programs of the late 1960s. Called Project Moonshadow, which essentially was a program that genetically engineered me from the ground up. And then I was re-implanted back into my biological mother's womb and born like any and everybody else and sort of raised like anybody else in a pretty normal and average American background, middle class, working class background, while at the same time being involved in a secret program to train me to be better, smarter, faster, stronger, better at killing and blowing things up than other people were. So that during these mostly evening in the middle of the night sort of visits when the personnel would come in, usually through localized wormhole, to take me out for training period and then return, sometimes, you know, not much more than a few minutes after they may have left. So that becomes sort of minimal time travel is involved, which they really do as a time-saving device. So, you know, take someone away for a training period that's a number of 8 hours, 20 hours, 2 days, 5 days a week or something, and then return them, you know, 15 minutes after you left, and you sort of save time, you know, air quotes, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when I was 17 years old, I was taken from that project, Project Moonshadow, which then parcels its personnel to a larger super soldier program called Project Mannequin, and then out of Project Mannequin was parceled into the Earth Defense Force, which then parceled me out to the Mars Defense Force, which is a contracted military, private military organization who is essentially contracted by the Mars Colony Corporation, or the MCC, to defend the colonies on Mars. So I spent 17 years, a little bit more than 17 years in the MDF, and then was promoted to officer and officer class, and was part of Project Radiant Guardian at the EDF, where I was a pilot aboard the EDFSS Nautilus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my basic background and my basic story.
Yeah, it's quite a handful. You know, some of the things I after the last two episodes that we've done, it's kind of amazing the amount of information I got. You know, some of it was like, you know, prove it, prove he's real, prove he's, and I'm not even going to go into that. And I know you've already talked about that. If you if you were impersonating an officer, you'd be in jail right now, and that's good for me, and as well as the other information. But I want to point out really quickly
that I've been trying to arrange a polygraph. I've thrown down that I'm willing to do a polygraph with a chemical interrogant. We're having a hard time getting someone to agree to do the test because they really are more concerned that I'm telling the truth, and they would have to put their stamp of approval on my story, you know, more than anything else. So we're trying to make that happen and do everything we can to prove in every way possible that I'm telling the truth, including pursuing going after my records and so forth. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to say we're trying really hard to prove everything we can. But go ahead. Please.
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, you either get it or you don't. You know, you either tune into it and feel whether it's right or not, or you don't. But anyway, some of the questions that came up was, and I had some questions myself, is exactly who, you know, are we defending against? Now, which groups are we having trouble with out there?
Obviously we have a draconian problem.
The
Zetas are pretty much a non-issue, a non-problem at this point. We've eradicated them, to the best of my knowledge, from our solar system, and we may be occasionally experiencing their reentry into things, but they're pretty much non-existent. However, that doesn't mean that people still aren't seeing them. Because essentially we and other ETs have mastered the ability to regenetically engineer the Zeta clone, which is a very, very well-used apparatus, and essentially use them as avatars to teleoperate. So you can still blame them and hold them responsible for things, even though they aren't actually here, by essentially, you know, putting on the Zeta clone costume and masquerading as that. So people may still see them or have experiences with them, but it's not actually a Zeta at that point, which makes it confusing. What we're learning, and this is one of the reasons why this is a little difficult to talk about, but, and I don't mean like emotionally difficult, I mean just difficult to be clear on it, because as I am getting briefings on this subject, and the species and the races that we're very concerned about has a lot to do with the fact that we are just learning, very, very recently are learning of the existence of these species and these beings, and learning sort of where they are, either here or close by or at a distance, and what their sort of threat level is, because we really have only within the last decade, I think is really fair to say, developed a really advanced ability to scan our own space and scan our solar system space on a multidimensional level in a way that we can really, really start to detect anything and everything that's around us. That's new. We've had the ability to detect that space for some time, but to detect it with a really, really high degree of definition has not been something that we've been able to do until about the last decade and a half, maybe. So there's a lot of new information that we're still trying to glean and figure out, and one of the things that we are learning is that one of the main reasons that we have been having a hard time detecting some of these folks is because they're doing a really good job of staying very, very well camouflaged and making it very, very hard to detect them, both technologically and psionically. So I can say that there's a lot of, you know, shadowy figures that are close by that we are concerned about, but are only a concern if there is a kind of collapse in which we are weakened to the point in which they would attack or make us vulnerable. They're not the kind of global dominators that we need to be concerned about as far as that's concerned, but if there is sort of an overall collapse situation in order to rebuild, which is kind of the agenda of the evil powers that be, if that was to happen, then we would be at risk of having these sort of jackals, as we like to refer to them, who are lurking, kind of coming in and dealing with those problems. We're also starting to understand that we've been attracting more attention recently. So we're getting new folks who are arriving on a regular basis now into the situation, thinking that something's about to happen, or that there's some excitement going on, or that all this activity must be for something. And so a lot of opportunists have certainly started to try and make their way this way. And people who are just, you know, questionable trustworthiness, carpetbaggers, if you want to call them, the intergalactic carpetbaggers, if you will. And so I'd say that we're starting to feel concerned for, you know, a half dozen or more so species that are starting to become we're aware of, but none of them are what we would call major threats. until, you know, they actually do something, and when we can actually identify mm-hmm. and say, oh, this person, these people are now taking an action. What we have is a parking lot sort of filling up with, you know, an ugly crowd that, you know, you kind of don't want to see yeah. show up in your parking lot. So we're concerned about that. But at the moment, I think our main concerns are this draconian problem that we've had and some of the proxies that they've still been operating with. And we certainly mm-hmm. have a list of humanoid species to which we are trying to understand allegiances, and we are trying to make sure that everyone who says this is our agreement, this is our treaty, and this is our allegiance, that they're being honest about that, they're being truthful about that, and testing, you know, sort of relationships to see who's not, you know, willing to stand up to what they've already agreed to or the treaties that they've signed with us. So there's a lot of mixing and a lot of loyalty changing and a lot of understanding new people who are showing up in the neighborhood every day, and it's getting really, really complicated. Mm-hmm. So I would just yeah. say that we're always having to be concerned about simply anything and everything and everyone who thinks that they can take advantage. And that's kind mm-hmm. of a long list. And the thing about those who want to take advantage, they don't necessarily want to just come in and steal and rape and destroy things and do sort of classic, you know, evil deeds. Sometimes they want to take energy in different ways. So a lot of persons who may be, you know, having meditative spiritual experiences, maybe experiencing beings who are communicating with them or attempting to guide them. Some of these, as we know, are very good guides who are trying to help us find our way. But more and more, you know, some of these people who are showing up to sort of interfere are, you know, con men, sort of the intergalactic con men of the game, and people need to really start to be much better discerning when they're listening to their guides and so forth, trying to help them or instruct them or show them the way that they're really listening to good advice. I always tell people that when they say, well, my guides say this or that, I say, well, if you really got to, you know, question your guide sometimes, and if they're not giving you good advice, maybe you need to fire them or hire somebody else or insist that someone else be your guide.
Yeah,
which is totally doable. You know, you can do that. And so, because sometimes you just, you know, someone may come all shiny and light and colorful and, you know, sending what you feel is really this positive energy, but they're just a liar. And it's possible for some liars to do that, and you can't withstand the test of real discernment, but it's something mm-hmm. that can, you know, distract or fool someone temporarily, like a flashy thing in the water distracting a fish, but on a much yeah. more complicated level. We are dupable. I just want to point that out. Even though we're smart, we're intelligent, we're capable, we are dupable, and we have to really be careful at the moment, because there are a number of people, I think, who are coming into this scene who are just taking advantage of the chaos and want to confuse us, mm-hmm. trying to lead us in directions that are just going to waste energy and benefit them somehow psionically, psychically, materially, or so forth. So the main thing that I always
want to say... Yeah, we've seen that a lot, the disempowering messages, you know, that, you know, we'll take right. care of everything, don't worry about it, max out your cards, we're going to beam you up, you know, the planet's going to go through a shift and we're going to take care of everything, so, you know, don't worry about it, or, you know, major funding coming around the corner so you don't have to prepare or take care of yourself, and, you know, just all those stories I've seen over and over again. And yeah, and the messages are very disempowering as far as, you know, making your own personal connection with creator or spirit or things of that nature, and it is, and I hate to say it, the new age thing, it seems to be very gullible when it comes to that program, and the opportunists seem to just, you know, we have a saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent, you know?
right, absolutely.
You got to use extreme discernment yeah. in these areas.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree
yeah.
with that. Yeah, and it's easy for people to, you know, want to get into this. Well, I don't want to focus on anything negative, or I don't want to, and it's like, well, but awareness is about being aware of everything in the situation that is happening around you, and if the situation has a lot of negative impacts and things we need to be aware of, then, you know, there's a reason why we have to focus on some of the problems where we're going to fix them. So mm-hmm. there is a lot of, you know, sort of ways that people try and sidestep responsibility, I think, and really dealing with issues that are part of this, you know, kind of deceptive, lead people into this sort of trap of, well, if I really do this, I feel like I'm doing something even though I'm not doing anything and I'm not really helping. And yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen that quite a bit, and we've had everything from people showing up to our door. We've had people that actually believe they're Jesus or Kuan Yin or some highly evolved master, and you know, we're supposed to just turn the keys over to them because, you know, they're some I don't know, incarnation of somebody, but I'll tell you, when anybody
ever shows up to your door doing that, what you do is you set out the items that you need for them to do one of the five transformations. And if they can perform one of the five material transformations, then you know they might be authentic. But if they can't perform any of the five material transformations, then no. They're just making up doors. So they're tests for people who are at that level. And you can present it to them, and they can get it away, and they can do it. And if they can't, then they're not being honest.
That's why I say, can you, if you're Kuan Yin, can you summon your dragon, you know? Or if you're Jesus, can you walk on water, you know?
If you're Jesus and can't turn water into wine, it's just telling stories. So, you know, that's always the first one you do. Bring out the glass of water, turn that into wine, we'll start there.
And it's sad though, because they have been duped, you know. A lot of them really believe, you know, they're good people, and they just really believe they are trying to do the right thing. They just got into believing, you know, the personality, that they are the personality of that master, versus really realizing everybody can connect to that master and become one with everything, you know, if you want. But it's quite interesting. Getting back to these higher beings, we've had some amazing things happen here at the ranch. We've had, Mary appear here, Kuan Yin, Ezekiel, some of these really high seventh-dimensional beings, and actually getting photographs of these beings and working with recently. It's brand new here. We've had a lot of Palladian contact in the Orion Council of Light and Dromon ships coming by crazy stuff, you know, where we're beaming up and disappearing and reappearing and things like that. But I always, no matter what's happening, I always hold on to that inner discernment. Okay, that was cool, but I'm still going to maintain my own personal God connection. And how is this benefiting, you know, me and others? And how can I use this to assist, you know, in the awakening healing process? And I always use those tools, you know, no matter what happens, because, you know, there are, you know, in my books I wrote a long time ago, in the old times, people would come here, they would have really high technology, and it was the great, the big B&B, you know, you come to Earth, you do a few tricks, you know, you do a few flashies and whatever, and, you know, you get a bed for the night, you know, a few virgins, and they're the best fatted calf, you know, so...
Absolutely.
It's been going on for a long, long time, you know, and nowadays we're a little more privy, you know, like some of this, what was all superstitious before, now we're looking at it, we go, wow, that's a mothership, you know, that was a landing, you know, that's a record of a Vimana coming in, you know, with maybe a benevolent being on it, or maybe a tyrant on it, who knows, you know, it could be either way.
Right.
I was wondering if you've had have you had contact with, you know, one thing I was listening where, like, I guess the space fleet is just saying, okay, nobody comes through, nobody, they're just pushing away everybody. But I'm wondering about making, is there any kind of an organization that is very psychic or sensitive or aware, you know, and discerning, that would be a go-between if they were benevolent and they were here to help us clean up the planet and end the wars and bring in, you know, the fuelless energy technologies and the healing technologies? Is there some kind of an organization that is discerning enough not to attack, let's say, benevolent people coming here?
I would like to think that the guys who are running the Time Corps show are some of the most advanced and evolved of us all, because they simply could not be able to do their job and understand time mechanics the way that they do in order to do their job. And if I am to understand how they operate, there is certainly an attempt to create a filter so that, you know, we're sort of not just letting everybody in as they come flooding in. We have sort of a, you know, a checkpoint system of, you got to ask permission and be nice, and, you know, we got to know that you're okay. I mean, we're, you know, we're trying to create that sort of system at the gate. And we certainly have treaties, you know, so that some people, you know, can show their ID sort of and get through and land at appointed areas and be in appointed locations and have, you know, conversations and engage in trade and diplomacy and so forth. Because we're certainly engaging, and that's happening, you know, every second of every day. So as we're going through that, I think that the discernment process of those who are sort of become in charge of that has become a little bit better. But I think at the moment they're still in a bit of a little xenophobia, in the sense that there's just so many people coming in and there's so much that they're not sure what to deal with, that they're kind of being on the side of keeping everybody out instead of just letting everybody in, because they're really not sure that they can feel safe about that. So there is more of a keep them out than a let them in attitude at the moment. And that's, you know, that is what it is. But I will say that the Intergalactic Space Station is a active neutral zone for everyone to sort of be able to, you know, who have diplomatic requests and diplomatic authorities to be able to meet and converse and sort of engage in this sort of conversation in order how to deal with this. So on that sense, I think that there is a real effort, a real serious effort by some people to not allow the powers who have tried to sort of destroy things to get away with destroying the planet and do that. I think that there is definitely a conflict between, you know, forces of good and forces of evil in this case who are acting in, you know, against our interests and acting in our interests. So those who I believe are acting in our interests, I think, are doing a good job of what they're doing, and I think that they're making a lot of strides so that we can do things better, but we have to sort of still arrest quite a bit of control from the forces of darkness before we can do some of the things that we'd really like to do, because, you know, while you're still arguing over economic and social policy and so forth, you know, you're kind of, the gears are stuck and we're not moving forward. So until we can change, you know, sort of the socio-political landscape, there are still going to be some things that just aren't going to move forward. So, and then I'm really serious when I say that I believe that a lot of that is underway, and a lot of the machinations of the socio-political process around the world are really being motivated and fueled at the moment in order to help facilitate that change. I know a lot of people, if you listen to the news, you're just going to hear a lot of talk about, you know, big money in politics is destroying things. And they are. They're doing a horrible job of doing bad things in politics. But they're not the only forces. And the forces of the people are still, you know, rising up all over the world. So I think we're still encouraged to see that, you know, evil has not won and that the forces of good are still winning in that sense. But we've got some distance before we can really, you know, open the doors and say that we have a more of an open door policy, because we don't have to be concerned about our own people betraying us and you know, by the lack of security that would entail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does seem to be quite a, you know, an interesting position to be in. One, you know, you don't want to leave the door open and let anything come in. At the same time, you don't want to block it if we do have help. And there are factions here on the planet, you know, that are pretty entrenched, you know, that want to just maintain the chaos and the status quo and the, you know, the destruction of the environment and everything else that's going on. But I know from what I've been hearing and from insiders and from very high positions and things that would know, that it sounds like we're getting ready for a huge shift. Even the monetary, you know, global monetary system, everything is going to be shifting for the better. And these old programs and these old patriarchal dynasties aren't going to be doing too well here in the next, definitely the next 2 years, you know, what they've been telling us. But I think it's even sooner than that. It's just a lot of things have already happened. We just haven't heard about them.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I get briefed every week on things that I know that are absolutely happening that is not getting through to the mainstream or what we're hearing publicly yet. But yeah, there's a lot of good news to talk about for sure.
Yeah. I wish I could talk about some of it, because some of it was told to me in confidence, you know, and they said, well, don't, you might throw a monkey, you know, a monkey wrench into the picture. So don't say anything right now, because it's all being done behind the scenes in a way, and I guess it's going to be released later when it's time. But it is
right.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I absolutely hear that. As I get my briefings, I have to think a little bit more about what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. Not because it's, you know, things that I'm trying to hide about, but things that are going on sort of at the moment that I don't want to mess anything up. Yeah, I don't want to just say, oh, this is happening, and then broadcast that over the airwaves and, you know, sort of give away to somebody what's sort of going on. But I will say this, I can definitely say this. What I'm hearing is that the main thing that has happened is that people are now aware of the shift in power and the sort of shift in loyalties. And when I say people, I mean all of the sort of global socioeconomic organizations that really run the machinations of the planet have started to become much more self-aware about, oh, wait a minute, if we go with their plan, we're dead. If we go with their plan, maybe we won't be dead. And so they're really starting to shift loyalties. And that's just like every day, you know, they've got people jumping their ship and sort of coming to our side and embracing, you know, the, oh, my God, I'm sorry, I didn't realize what they were doing, and they were trying to destroy the whole thing. This isn't good for me or my family or my business or my empire or my anything. And so, you know, they're really starting to see that the whole game plan was to exclude everybody but this very, very tiny number of people, and that's causing everyone to shift loyalties at the moment. So I would just encourage people to continue to understand that that's happening right now. You know, people are jumping sides and switching over and turncoating, and it's just happening left and right because they really see the handwriting on the wall. They said, oh, I thought you guys were going to get away with this. No, it's like you're not. This is not good. And so, yeah, they're seeing that it's not worth dying for. And so they're definitely, and you know, when you just have a system essentially of loyalty based on corruption and bribes and all kinds of other things, well, it doesn't really encourage a kind of loyalty. So no wonder that, you know, they're all turncoating and jumping now, you know, that they see that they're not going to pay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can definitely say that we are experiencing that right now. And so I keep hoping every day that I'm just going to see more and more evidence in the news from people having conversations and saying things out loud. But all I can say is I am encouraged by the things that I'm seeing and hearing. I think we're going to hear some breaking news on a number of things any day, and or we're just going to see, you know, the floodgates open of some absolute insanity and craziness, which will, again, I think, be the impetus to spurn for more kind of intervention activities. Because I think it's obvious now there are two sides. And it's not just one side trying to roll us over our rights and our citizen democracy and so forth. There are two sides fighting back and forth. And so as loyalties are shifting, powers are shifting, we're going to see more and more as the bad side and the bad guys start losing. And more we're going to see it.
Yeah, and I think basically if it's all about energy, you know, consciousness and energy, and the Earth is evolving and she's going through a shift, the whole universe is, and the people there are holding on to that old consciousness of tyranny and greed and againstness, and all the other programs that they're running aren't going to be frequency specific to where the Earth is going. So they don't have, there's a no-win situation for them. They don't have an option to continue in the old program. They have to shift with where things are going. And with the help from all these other beings that seem to be coming in, on a very high level that most people aren't even aware of, I think it's going to get real interesting, you know, in the very near future.
I would agree, and I would add to that I'm seeing evidence of something that I did not expect at all, but I find very interesting and very encouraging, which is what I would just call a basic mental unraveling of those people. I mean, where I'm hearing more and more statements from those people and things that they're saying and that they're doing that are really representative of a complete basic fundamental mental unraveling. So I think what we're seeing is that the paradigms that they've really been holding on to are collapsing on that sort of global psionic scale, and they can't maintain it anymore. So that whatever structure in their own sort of energy in their brains that have been holding on to that is just absolutely dissolving, and it's causing their very minds to just collapse and unravel, and they're starting to just say and do the most crazy and insane things. So I think that's, I think that's what we're seeing, that they're just mentally unraveling. And so I'm encouraged by that they're really going to be their own undoing by becoming, you know, practically crazy mental vegetable that won't even be capable of defending themselves or continuing their own agenda because their minds are just going to unravel.
Yeah, they keep giving themselves away over and over again, and they just blatantly say what they're doing and just go, my God, did you hear that? You know, and a lot of people don't hear it, but enough do. That, like when Gates said that, he said, yeah, we're going to take care of the population problem through inoculations, you know, and then they go and inoculate people for polio, and they had, what, I think 12 cases, and then next thing you know, they got 45,000 cases, you know, over there.
Right.
And, you know, there's things of that nature. You see them just totally spill the beans and say things that, and I'm wondering, I go, what happened? Did their host leave, you know? Are they just having a mental breakdown? I think it's a little of both. I think, you know, they can't function very well in the new energies. And also, too, a lot of them, they had influences that were actually, you know, helping them go forward and telling them what to do and when to do it and what to say and everything else. And they're losing that connection, or they've lost it altogether, and now they're just floundering.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, too. I think on a certain level, their biological mental facilities can't maintain that host any further. And at the same time, many of the hosts are being expelled. And we're able to identify their frequency in there in space and expel them. And then, yeah, without their hosts and their minds unraveling, what do they got left? They got nothing.
Yeah, and they weren't that brilliant to begin with, or they wouldn't have chosen that path, you know. So
right, so exactly. Left, so without their puppeteers, they don't got much.
Yeah, exactly. Getting back to that, you're talking about the Galactic Space Station. That sounds really interesting. Do you know who's coming and going from that space station? Which group?
Everybody. I mean, lots of people are coming and going from that space station. I've been to that space station about a dozen times, and every time that I was there, there was a whole different variety of people in the main round room having, you know, meetings and conversations in there. It was really fascinating, and just it's hard to describe because as I do meditations, often trying to remember things that happen there, because it's one of the perhaps the most interesting and fascinating sets of experiences that I have in my head. I find that my brain's ability to record pattern recognition sometimes in those spaces, given the number of different species and body types that I was trying to identify, can sometimes just get really mushy. So some of the memories are a little harder to recall on and get to than others, and others are just, you know, an amalgam of shapes and faces and figures and so forth, trying to sort of separate the pattern recognition out. So I imagine as I work harder on those memories, they will be able to become more clear. But I think in some cases it was just really hard for my brain to actually record everything that was happening based on, you know, walking into a room and all of a sudden physically seeing 10 new different species that I'd never seen before, and, you know, my brain's trying to, you know, register and read them all and absorb all that information at the same time, while I'm also trying to do my job and you know, be attentive to the officers that I'm with and be attentive to the conversation that I'm with if we're having a conversation with someone, and trying to do my job and also be distracted by this just amazing new information that I want to absorb and want to look at, but at the same time being overwhelmingly different, so it's really hard sometimes to just absorb all of that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it felt really overwhelming, but it's an absolutely fascinating place, and there's always comes and going. So it's a place where anyone who's got business to come talk and wants to negotiate, discuss, you know, trade, treaties, you know, any kind of ins and outs, that's kind of where they come and do the conversation with. So, and it's not just people talking to us, people, other ETs talking to each other about various agreements that have to do with things in the solar system and business agreements they have with us. You know, multiple ETs may, you know, get together to fulfill a contract based on different ETs' ability to fulfill different parts of that contract. It's really complicated. There's an amazing amount of exo-business that is going on right now that the rest of the planet is, you know, being completely denied knowledge about and the economic access to. We're not seeing the tax revenue or the income from this exo-business cycle, which has got to be just trillions of dollars a year. It's got to be trillions of dollars a year because of the volume of the things they're moving with the number of species they're moving at. It's got to be an economy that is larger than the global planetary economy as we understand it to be.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You know, it's just, I'm just amazed. A lot of times I just see people and they just say, well, I don't believe in UFOs at all. I think it's all a bunch of nonsense. And I just look at people like that and it blows me away. I'm almost shocked. Like I feel like I just landed on a primitive planet that with the Stone Age, you know, people. And I go, where do you start? When you have people like that are just, you know, the debunkers and the naysayers and all those people, when I hear that stuff, I just go, I don't even know where to start, and I don't know if I want to start, and I'm fine with you having that reality if that's what you want, but my God, it's so limited. It's such a base reality that I can't even go there.
In my experience, those people are experiencing what I call a resistance to paradigm shift, because if they accepted what we were saying, they would be forced to redefine their entire world. And in most cases, they know on some deep level that would force them to have to choose differently what they're doing every day. All of a sudden, they would be faced with an actual important reality that would cause them to feel like they have to take some kind of action or stand up and do something and get off the couch. And change the way they think or believe about things in a way that may be unpopular according to some people that they know or their family members. And so there's a resistance to the paradigm shift. And so if I have conversations with those people, and I'm happy to talk with anybody. If they want to have the conversation, I'm not going to, shove it down their throat, but I'm happy to have that conversation, because I think the first thing that I will approach with someone like that is say, look, why don't you take a deep breath and examine the fact that what would you have to think and do if you accepted that what I'm telling you is true? And if you have to think about it, I mean, just entertain for the minute that what I'm telling you is true. Let's go ahead and, we'll say that I'm making it up, but let's pretend for a minute that what I'm telling you is true. What would you have to do differently when you woke up tomorrow? How would you think about your day differently if what I'm telling you is true, if the medical technology that I'm telling you is available, how would you feel about what we need to do to get that medical technology? If the space traveling technology and the thrusting and propulsion technology that I'm talking about exists, and the safety that represents for air travel. I mean, the safety standard for traveling in a magnetogravitic vehicle versus an airplane is huge, the safety factor. So if you knew that tomorrow when you woke up tomorrow morning, and you knew that you could prevent, people dying in plane crashes, how would that affect your day? So I think that, putting in a perspective for people, that letting them realize that, oh, maybe if I did accept this, I would have to think about this differently, does give them an opportunity to recognize that they're like, oh, maybe I am doing that. And I only say that because I have experienced a couple of people, friends of mine, who we've had that conversation. And when I could say, I've had this conversation enough times, I think I know what it's about. And why don't you examine why you think that you would have to change if you accepted what I'm telling you is true? And I've had a couple of them who could say, you're right. It is me. I don't want to accept that what you're telling me is true, because you're right. If I got up tomorrow, I would have to change how I think and feel about my world, my environment, the law, the government, the military, human beings and extraterrestrials, and I don't think I really want to think about it. So it can instill a conversation where someone can become self-aware. If I think, again, you kind of know what the root of that is, and I'm saying in my experience, I think I know what the root of that is. It's basically people who are just don't want to have to change their belief system, because this is something so huge that it really would force them to have to change their life in some way. And that, mm-hmm. the idea of doing that, they're so resistant to that kind of change or shifting their life in that way for whatever reason, that they'd rather just go, nah, I'll make up any other reason why you're full of crap so that I don't have to change my belief system and decide that I'm a different kind of person tomorrow.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. We've done this over and over again. People, the two things that resist most or, that fear most is, change and the unknown. And right. And they don't want to make the unknown known, because that would mean change. That would mean they'd have to change everything. And, I see these cancer wards. And as you said, the people come back from the military without arms and legs. It could be you know, regenerated, and you know, especially the children in the cancer wards. I look at that. I mean, how barbaric! We're nuking them. You know, we're irradiating them and giving them these cocktails that are totally collapsing their immune systems, and you know, making them just torture, and it's totally unnecessary. And how barbaric! And to me, how could anybody stand by and watch that and participate it when you knew that there were other alternatives that you know were not so torturous and debilitating?
Yeah, I certainly don't see how people can claim to be human beings with having no compassion for the suffering of their fellow human beings, knowing that there's a better way, knowing that we could take essentially the medical industry that we have today is the dark ages compared to the technology that's available. We could essentially get rid of pharmaceuticals. I mean, we would only need a tiny, tiny list of pharmaceutical drugs to work with if we integrated the holographic healing, repatterning, rebuilding technology that they have. Essentially, the ability to restore people on a cellular level so that any organ damage, any tissue damage, any broken bones, any missing limbs, any or eyes, ears, and organs that don't function could all be replaced and regenerated with perfect genetic examples from your DNA of those things, those organs and tissue parts. So we have that ability to completely restore people in that way. So and it would completely get rid of the system of the medical system that we had. Surgery would no longer exist. You would never need to do surgery on someone ever again. You would just put them in their regen bed, and you would do the holographic repatterning technology, and you would fix them internally with that. You would never need to cut anybody open ever again. So surgery would be done. Pharmacology would mostly be done. You know, all of this imaging technology would mostly be done. And so the good news about that is that we would take a system that is going to absolutely bankrupt us in another 10 years if we keep doing it this way, and the medical industry is going to bankrupt us. And we could replace it with something that's so simple, so cheap, and so easy that we could reduce overall healthcare costs and imagine the productivity that we would be able to infuse into society if every single person could be walking, healthy, functional, and all of their organs and their limbs mobile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I think about it, I think about stuff like that. I think about, how could you be a compassionate human being and not want that? And know that if we have it, why wouldn't you want to do that? And to think that you just would rather watch people, you know, children, you know, in wheelchairs and dragging along, you know, severed limbs and so forth, if you're some kind of crazy sociopath. I don't know what to say about that, but I think any decent human being who has an ethic or a moral value in them is, you know, if they knew that we had that technology, they would insist, you know, they would be in the streets tomorrow insisting that we have it because they have a family member who needs it. They are a family member who needs it. Or have a family member who died, you know, because if they didn't have that kind of technology. And so I'm tired of people being sick and dying of things that they don't need to die, and people going through cancer treatments that they don't need to go through, and soldiers with severed limbs that they should have their arms and their legs back. I'm tired of watching that. So, yeah, I think if people knew they'd have to do something.
I was thinking about that, too, as you were saying before, the anti-gravity, anti-gravitic, or the counter-gravity, too, which is a little different system. But those, having those on a plane, it couldn't fall out of the sky. And also, too, it wouldn't need the fuel, and they wouldn't be doing these lately. I'm curious, I don't know if you want to talk about it, get your take, but the past about 4 or 5 days, we have just been getting hammered with these chemtrails. And also some kind of a HARP technology. And for a couple of days there, I couldn't even finish a sentence. I just go, what is this? You know, what is going on? And I caught myself, you know, talking about dinner. And we're doing this remodel, totally remodeling this house, this other guest house right now. And, you know, you find yourself cutting things an inch short and remeasuring and all these things happening. You're just not functioning on a very high level, and I'm wondering if you have any insight as to when this nonsense is going to quit and how we can end this massive chemtrail program.
Other than people taking, action en masse, which I'm always in favor of, and people have certainly been taking to the streets on various issues recently and taking to the streets on climate change and so forth. And so it's kind of a niche issue often that it gets lost in other issues sometimes. But I think that the real choices there are people either can get way more vocal about it so that some real attention can be brought to it and we can start to have real conversations about it. Or, as I said, these internal loyalties are going to have to keep shifting, and as that occurs, we may see the people who control the ability of what's going into those planes and what's being sprayed of them being able to decide what's not going into the air anymore. So fingers crossed that, the people who are going to make better choices about those things will be in power to make those better choices. But other than that, people becoming much more self-aware and having the bigger conversation about it could bring something to it. But that would we really need, to be honest, we need some data. We need some scientific data. I'd like to see some, scientists and some people get up there in their airplanes and take some readings and take some samples, and come up with some data to be able to present. So that, because if you want to present data to, governing bodies and so forth, you have to have something. You can't just say, hey, we know they're up to something there. You really need some scientific data to support that. So I'd be way in favor of someone, who pursuing that, who wants to demonstrate that this is a real issue and getting up there in the air and taking some samples of these clouds and actually finding out what's in them and then doing,
Clifford Carnicom and William Thomas and Clifford Carnicom, and a lot of these people have actually gotten samples, and they've been doing air samples and water samples and things of that nature.
Oh, great.
It's like 6,000 times over, like barium and aluminum, or something like 6,000 times over the toxic amount that the EPA should be all over this, but they won't even touch it or even talk about it. It doesn't exist, according to them. And all these things are accumulative. They're heavy metals, and they, if you want to get a troop to slow down, you just go spray barium on them. They get all this muscle, joint pain, upper respiratory, gastrointestinal problems, and then they can't march. It's warfare, basically. I want to rant on that subject, but it's just like what we're seeing here is basically chemical and biological warfare on the American people and life itself. And I'm seeing the trees, just huge die-off right now of the trees, because the aluminum is blocking the uptake, of the nutrients and the water that they need. So it's and the forest fires too are just off the scale, because those heavy metal coated leaves seem to burn a lot hotter and faster. But I just can't wait till we do get some kind of a regime change or some heavy influence on the benevolent side coming in and putting an end to some of these programs, because we need to get on that pretty quickly, it seems like.
I agree, and I'm keeping my eyes and my ears open every day, and all I can say is if the reports that I'm getting are correct, we're doing good, we're winning, and we should all, keep meditating on the positive aspects of what's coming and do our best to do our part. But I think we've turned a corner in some ways, and I think that we've seen a real shift. So all I can say is I think we're just going to keep seeing that, and it's still early to see a lot of the benefit that we all want to see, but I think we're going to see it. We all have to be a little more patient.
Yeah.
And I know we've been dragging through this for so long. I know it's hard to say, okay, just a little while longer, everybody, but we're just going to have to be a little more patient to see how some of that comes out. I think the 2016 election could be interesting. There could be some real surprises. And it could not be as predictable as some people think it's going to be. It could also be a lot more issue-oriented in ways that could get people talking about things that otherwise we haven't really been having much conversation about. So it could be a real opportunity because it's one of those few times when everybody is really paying attention. And so the people who know when it's a good idea to throw certain information, out into the media machine, if it's what they really want people to absorb, they know that that's one of the best times to do it. So I know a lot of people were really hoping that, you know, Obama was going to be the disclosure president. His term of office is not over. He still may be the disclosure president. So I think that, you know, we just don't know what's going to happen until it happens. But even if his term ends and we haven't seen, you know, the changes that we want to see, 2016 election could be very, very interesting. And I don't think it's a guarantee that it's Hillary's race, and I don't think it's a guarantee that it's anybody's race. And I just want to point out, though, anyone who thinks that a Tea Party or Republican candidate has a prayer in the 2020 election has not been paying attention, has been not looking at the numbers in the electoral colleges in the states, shifting blue and red and so forth. It will be, you know, sort of a progressive Democrat, leftish candidate. There's no way that it will ever be anybody on the conservative side. They're just completely come apart as a party because they've alienated everybody that they possibly can. They've alienated transgendered and homosexual people and gay and lesbian people and women and every person of color and every person who's not a rich white guy. So they've essentially shot themselves. They really just shot themselves in the foot so many times that, you know, that there's the most of the country is just not voting for them anymore on a national scale, and they're never going to hold a presidential office again, probably for decades in this country. So
I agree,
but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to end up with Hillary or that she's going to be the good or bad person that people think that she's going to be. You know, we just don't know until it all happens. But I think that we should be encouraged that the changes are coming, and we should just be expecting them in one way or another. So wherever they're going to come from, we should just be expecting them.
I think we might have...
And I think when I say that, I think that just means we should all be really mentally getting ready every day. So.
Yeah. I think something really big is going to be happening here really soon. You know, I think disclosure is going to be coming from the skies, and it already is. There's a lot of events happening. They had that one sighting in Texas where 99% of the people said, yeah, we do believe in extraterrestrial life, you know, in their poll after they had this sighting in Texas. So I think people are ready, and I think it's going to push the envelope, and I think there's much, much bigger forces than the ones that are trying to suppress it or slow it down. So it's just inevitable. You know, something's going to happen. You know, it's like the domino effect. You know, they're all stacked up and ready to go, and I think it's just something's going to have to just hit the right domino, and it's all going to go, and, you know, into a major shift.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think we're seeing all the signs of both sides stepping up their activities and the dark side getting desperate, which is always a good sign, actually. The more desperate they get, the more of a sign it is that they're failing and that they're losing and that they're diminishing power, because, you know, desperation is always a final act of those who are losing their grip. So every time we see them do something desperate, I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, and I know too. Is that
and it just doesn't mean it's going to be over.
They're not frequency. Well, what I see really clearly, just the energy shifts and feeling those shifts. I mean, with this last full moon that we went through, the energy came through. It's just off the scale, and I haven't been sleeping for about 4 days now just because the energy's coming in. But the that's got to have
an
effect. You know, that's got to be really. You know, hammering on those of a denser consciousness and those people trying to hold on to the old program. So, you know, if this keeps going where it's going, I just see it's inevitable that the days of tyranny are over. I think they're already over. They're just going through the last waltz, you know, and it's pretty much a done deal. They're just going through the move.
Yeah, I would relate this to, if I want to relate it back to sort of our World War II history, there was that time, you know, when essentially there wasn't much of Berlin left, it was a lot of rubble, but, you know, they were still trying to make a show, and, you know, they were still, you know, living out of their bunkers, and it wasn't over yet, but it was still basically over. So I think we're really approaching, like, that place where it may not be technically over at this point, but they've really, you know, have lost so much ground and so much position that it's basically over for them. It's basically done for them. And so, you know, as long as they want to hide out in their bunkers, you know, and keep pretending like they're, you know, not losing, losing, you know, then we're going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
There was that period of time.
I just,
and that happened in history, and I think it's going to happen right now. But, yeah, they it's over for them.
So. Yeah. I call those bunkers telomeres, you know. It's like a lot of those bunkers on the lowest levels, they have some pretty nasty beings that don't mind, you know, feeding off of humans. So, you know, you can just seal them up, you know, and you know, they've got their food supply down there for quite some time. But there's another group down there that's looking at them as the food supply as well. So you might want to think twice before going into those bunkers, a lot of them which have already been shut down. But anyway, you know, we're hitting the end of the hour, unfortunately. I wish we could go longer. But is there a way that people can contact you if they want to find out more about the work that you're doing?
Absolutely. People can go to my website, which is www.earthcitizenconsulting.org. And I have links to all the interviews that I have done so far and basic links, information to everything that I'm doing and what's going on. And they can go through all of that. And I have contact information for people who want to contact me and talk to me personally. I'm open to that. So, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Great. Hey, well, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I know we'll probably have to have on again because we've just touched the surface here. And if you've got any major breakthroughs or breaking news, be sure and let us know so we can get it out to the listeners.
I will just say that I went down to L.A. a few weeks ago, last month, actually, gosh, almost last month now, to do a go on a TV shoot for a History Channel program. That will be aired probably sometime early next year. And so the more I know about that, I will put information on that on my site, and I will actually have my face and some of my story on History Channel television. So, yeah, we're definitely trying to get the story and the message out there, and I'm definitely getting a broader and further reach every day. My email box is crammed full all the time, so... Yeah, things are definitely mm-hmm. moving forward, and we're definitely getting to the level where I'm getting the attention that I want to get, which means I'm ticking the people off I want to tick off, and I'm getting a lot of the positive support from all the people that I should be getting the positive support for. So it's great. Just great.
Great. Awesome. Hey, well, keep up the awesome work that you're doing, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you very much for having me again, James. It was great chatting with you. You take care now.
All right, you too. All right, we've hit the end of the hour, folks, unfortunately, and I know we could go on and on. There's so much information we'd like to get into, but unfortunately, we've got to sign off. So, I don't know, keep your heart open, keep your mind open, and start watching the skies, and, you know, be discerning on every level, and do what you need to do. You know, stay within universal law, the law of love, and everything will be fine. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.